The moral condition of America, as with any nation in any age, is a reflection of the spiritual condition of the church inside that society.
There are demons, and they have the power to blind your mind towards spiritual things.
In the name of Jesus, you get back up there where you belong.
They got together and swore a pact to the devil.
I can't be a big blessing to people if I'm poor and broke.
I have sinned against you, my Lord.
And we're so thankful that God has forgiven us.
Okay, today one of my friends from college texted me because she moved to the Twin Cities that she has now joined a Facebook group to discuss the goings-on of Love is Blind in the Twin Cities area.
Yes, it has become a popular topic, so much so that Minnesota Public Radio even ran a story about it and about, like, those Facebook groups. People are on watch. They want to know, where are they filming? And everyone probably has, like, 2 degrees of separation from someone that's on the show.
Yeah, especially in a town like the Twin Cities, a town, as if they're not
small
two,
town.
as if there's not several locations surrounding it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course somebody's going to know somebody. Somebody's nosy aunt is all over it.
Oh, yeah. See, these are the moments where I wish I was still on Facebook. But then I go on there and I see people posting conspiracy theories and then I just jump right back off again.
Honestly, my beef with Facebook right now is that every fucking post, it's like every five, I will see some sort of ad for some dumb meme Facebook group. It's like, it's all links to like expired BuzzFeed listicles. And I'm like, I'm not interested in this. I actually just want to see, like, the free Facebook group in my neighborhood and, like, mm-hmm. a couple of, like, little images of garden stuff. But, like, it's just all ads, and I hate it.
Like, the news feed of Facebook, like,
yes,
that homepage.
My news yeah. feed that I am scrolling down, it's, like, snooze, not interested, yeah. not interested. I don't go on Facebook very often, but I'm just, like, floored at the amount of things that have absolutely nothing to do with people like my Facebook friends, mm-hmm. air quotes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, this could be one of the things that I feel strongly about as a millennial, now that I'm old. I'm not actually old, but like now that I'm in my 30s, uh-huh. I do remember the old Facebook. Granted, my sister could speak more to it. She was in college when it first became available only for college students. And I got on there when they started allowing high schoolers. Mm-hmm. And so I remember, like, you know, the different user interfaces of Facebook past. And I feel like anytime I reactivate, I'm like, this is a new, I don't know where anything is. I don't know how to deactivate again. I don't know, like, why are there stories at the top? Why are there so many events? Of people that I'm not.
It just continues.
Yeah.
It gets worse. It just gets worse.
Yeah. At least with Instagram, I feel like I can kind of control. But even then, you like, there's the rabbit holes of you kind of start scrolling. And now that there's reels and I'll probably take a social media break here soon.
Yeah. It's nice. I started doing like no Instagram on Sundays. It's a good little practice for me. Yeah, I like it. I like the break.
Yeah. I do have some, like, meme gift groups on Instagram where we just send each other the most ridiculous things that show up in our, like, what's the Instagram equivalent of the For You page?
Just, I think, like, the grid
yeah.
thing. I know, you're like, the little search page
yeah.
thingy. Yeah, I know what you're talking
about.
So we're
just always sending those back and forth instead of, like, checking in. That's our way of checking
that is
in.
It is a way of yeah. checking in, for yeah. sure. I love the heinous stuff that I find. Every so often, I'm like, now this is what the internet was invented for.
Yes.
Like a man that paints like a hyper-realistic face of a cat on his face and then crouches down and pretends to lick a little bowl of milk. And I'm like, yeah, that's what I want to see on the internet. I'm not interested in the other stuff.
Yeah, Yeah, I want to see the Nanolan. Do you see the Nanolan? Like the little green puppet girl with the dog and her grandma? They're all puppets.
Oh, that's the, could she be any cuter?
Yeah, who's that wonderful girl? Yeah, we sing that that's a lot in our house.
That's an Instagram reel?
Well, there's an account.
But it's not like a TV show?
Oh, it is a TV
show. Yesteryear? Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah.
I didn't watch it, but I connect with it now. And a lot of good memes have come out of that. So, oddly enough, I know you wanted to talk Love is Blind, but was there anything else?
No. I like that it has taken the form of griping about social media, like the elder millennials we are. The middle-aged millennials we are.
Not even middle-aged at all.
Listen to this interaction I had with a coworker the other day. I'm not much older than my coworkers, but like I got like 4 to 5 years on them, some of them a little bit more. So I was talking about a business that was opening up near our workplace. And I'm like, I don't know if you've seen it, but we were driving home the other day. It was called Sploot Vet Clinic.
I love it.
And my coworker goes, what's a sploot? I was like, are you joking? Do you not know? You don't know what that is?
They don't know doggo?
No.
Floof?
And then I had to explain. I was like, sploot is from like a lexicon of like millennial speak from like 2010, 11, 12. I'm like, it's when like a dog like lays down and his little legs are popping out the other direction.
Yeah.
But they'd never heard this word. And I was like, oh, I'm full on millennial-ing my coworkers. I feel the same way when I make an office reference because you know what? The office is not cool. It's not cool anymore.
What's cool?
I'm sorry.
What are they watching? Huh? What like what's their thing?
I don't know. SpongeBob is still a hit though.
You've got that on lock.
I'm like, oh, I know.
Yeah.
But yeah, the office is, they don't think it's funny. They don't like it. So.
And they probably hate 30 Rock then, too. Dislike it,
but. Yeah. Anyway, so.
I was going to say, this is a good segue. Social media is actually how we found today's person that we're talking about. Not somebody I'm friends with. Somebody a loose acquaintance from my life is sort of involved in this world of Christian coaching. And so I saw this and I sent it to Maddie and I was like, I think we should talk about this person. And in the spirit of Women's History Month,
woo-hoo!
What better than talking about a lady?
It was time. Mm-hmm. We haven't had one all season.
Yeah.
To be fair, we haven't had entirely people this season, but
right.
Yeah, we've got our first woman of season 3. Happy Women's History.
Yes. So, who are we talking about today, Maddie?
Her name is Terry Saville Foy, right?
Or Saville. Who's to say?
I don't know. But in addition to being, okay, well, first of all, She's the cheerleader of dreams.
Yes. We can't forget. Cheerleader of dreams. That's her, like, her
She's
her thing,
also.
Her brand.
She's also a Nepo baby.
Yes.
Not our first and certainly not our last,
no.
But our first female Nepo baby.
Yes.
As we've talked about before, many of our other women girl bosses have, like, truly been self-made in, you know, as best as a millionaire can be.
Oh, Joyce Meyer is a great example of that.
Yeah, yeah. They worked hard for their money.
Mm-hmm.
Terry is the daughter of Jerry Saville, who is like a very, or not very, but like he had his moment in the sun as a televangelist and leader of Jerry Saville Ministries International, an organization dedicated to sharing God's message of love, acceptance, and hope across the globe.
So her dad, Jerry.
Another Jerry, ugh.
He's written over 70 books and has preached in more than 3,000 churches in 26 nations. He's also a multimillionaire. So as you said, Terry is the daughter of Jerry Saville, an American televangelist. So mm-hmm. she was already, she'd been brought up in this evangelical world. I will say, and I don't know if you ran into this issue as well, not a lot of deep information.
No, they're like, it was hard to find, like, where did she go to high school? Like, what was her life like? I did manage to get like some pieces of information about her, mostly from like different interviews she's done.
Okay.
And then I read a little bit about her story from one of her books. I can't remember which one, but so what I know about her is she was born in 1969. So do some quick math on that one. She obtained her Bachelor of Arts degrees from Texas Tech University. And she studied French mm-hmm. with a minor in communications, which I thought was very funny and so much like a degree that a rich daughter would get.
You said it, not me.
Uh-huh. She was eventually ordained into ministry in January 2000 through the church that her dad has run and still currently runs.
Is the church that her dad runs just like an evangelical church, or does it have a certain leaning?
I didn't do too much of a deep dive into it. If I were to guess, I would say it was like non-denominational or like Baptist.
Okay. So she didn't necessarily have to like go on to get another degree. It was just she got ordained within her father's church.
Yeah. Some denominations, like I've mentioned before, ordained because a group of people decided that you were ready to pursue ministry. And so I imagine it's pretty easy to convince your dad's friends that you're like totally fine to run this or to be ordained. Mm-hmm. Even though, from my understanding, she doesn't have any experience working in churches or really any ministry setting apart from helping run her dad's company.
Yeah. Okay. That tracks. Yeah. I can't remember if we did a high-level overview of who she is, but is it okay if I jump into that?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So Terry, who we're talking about today, is a self-described author, conference speaker, and a success coach to hundreds of thousands of people all over the world. She's written numerous books, including Make Your Dreams Bigger Than Your Memories and Imagine Big. Her whole platform is, as you said, cheerleader of dreams. She describes herself as helping people discover how to overcome the hurts of the past and see the possibilities of the limitless future. And she has a weekly podcast. She also has her own ministry, which we'll probably talk about more as this episode goes on. But what I didn't dig into, but I'm hoping maybe you did, is she references a lot a hard time in her life as being the inspiration behind how she started her ministry and why she's passionate about this work that she does. And this may seem like a tone-deaf question, but given that her father is a multimillionaire and it seems as though they have a good relationship, and she did sort of follow in the path of her dad, what were her hardships?
Okay, I am glad you asked because I did eventually find out. So, again, I can't remember which book it was. It's whatever one I was able to check out on, like the Open Library, the internet website I always reference, the Wayback Machine. And so, from the story that she told in that book, it sounds like throughout her like teenage years, she just had depression, like really intense depression. And I imagine being a preacher's kid and having, you know, things that I think are fairly typical emotions for teenagers, mm-hmm. it can be hard to like feel like it's okay to be sad. Honestly, from what she was describing, it sounded like full on depression, like major depressive disorder, that she likely did not seek help from. But I think like the really big defining moment of hardship in her life was her senior year of college. She found out she was pregnant. And so she wrote a letter home to her parents to tell them. And she said that within a week of like her mom calling her, which her parents responded per her story, like pretty graciously and like kindly, even though like at the time her dad was like this famous televangelist, she like felt like a failure and felt like really vulnerable to that. And so quickly then had to marry Rodney, who is now her current husband. And she said that I can't remember how much time had passed, but shortly after getting married, she had miscarried and was really sad about that.
Understandably they eventually, so.
Yeah. They eventually go on to have a daughter. But yeah, it sounds like she just struggles a lot with like depression, suicidal ideation, and shame around like being a failure. And that is definitely like not hard, but I don't like at all the way that she has responded to it.
Yeah, it's hard because I'm thinking of other, let's use other females as examples that we've talked about. And this isn't a comparison. It is sort of a comparison game, but that's not really what I'm intending it to be. I mean, I guess in a way I sort of am. I'm talking in a giant circle.
We're trying to be empathetic.
I'm trying to be empathetic, but also just be like. Yeah.
They're also rich millionaires.
Yeah, like she had a network that would have supported her, whether or not her parents would have been like happy about it. But she had finances that she could have always fallen back on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm saying this as like a broad generalization. But just knowing that her father was a successful televangelist, I'm sure the story would have been a lot worse if they didn't support their daughter. But yeah, if we were to compare that to other females that we've talked about, Joyce Meyer or Sister Amy, they had really terrible beginning stories or origin stories. Even Jerry Falwell, like senior, not junior. So I guess for me, when she talks about these hardships and like how that motivated her to think positively and be this like bubbly person that goes out into the world and tells people to just dream their biggest dreams, it does feel a little tone deaf.
Yeah. The thing that bothers me about it too is I don't like the way that she feeds into what is so common in Christian culture and kind of like some right-wing stuff of just like just don't be sad anymore, just actually all you have to do is try really hard and then you won't be sad, which is like not a way that is actually helpful for people. Like so much of her deal is just like giving people more milestones to reach, and it's like, and then once you achieve this, you'll no longer be sad. If you can just dream of no longer being sad, then your depression and the thoughts of harming yourself will just go away because it worked for me. And it's like, if it worked for you, then it's going to work for everybody. And I don't like that.
Yeah. It just feels very disingenuous because I do wonder, like, did she ever, if she had suicidal ideation, like that is something you would probably need treatment for, therapy or medication. So again, I'm not a doctor, but I am someone who has struggled with depression and anxiety and will continue through the rest of my life. Like, if I, as someone who's high functioning in those areas, like, I've never gotten to that point, but even I know that I need medication and therapy so that I can be a functioning human and, like, be a good person to show up for the people in my life and myself. So, like, I don't know. I'm just, it just feels like she's, I'm getting so nitpicky about it, and I think partly because there's not a lot out there that seems factual about her. Hang on one second. Fucking planes, man.
I can wait, too, till the plane goes by, but I think she's, like, truly the embodiment of toxic positivity, and she just sort of uses, like, she seems like a genuinely hard person to dislike. Like, I don't know if you watched any videos of her. Yeah, she just, like, seems very genuinely bubbly. I do wonder how real that voice is.
I, you know, I was like, okay, we do talk about, we are very equal opportunist when it comes to critiquing the persona that these people put forth. And I could not get past the fact that her voice, and she does make jokes about it, like how she doesn't sound like a pastor. Mm-hmm. Her voice sounds like, do you remember in 30 Rock, the woman that plays, I think her name is Abby. She's like a new writer that comes on. She does like the sexy baby voice.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That is the voice. Yes. And I couldn't get past it.
Yes. Yeah. It's hard. And I think like if that was the one thing, mm-hmm. if it was like, if that's her only thing and her whole deal is like advocating for people or like really passionate about like helping the unhoused, or like if there was like something with more substance behind her persona, I could be okay with it, because like people can be however they want to be. But I think it's like the persona plus being a Trump supporter plus being toxically positive, don't like any of it. So therefore, don't like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It just feeds into a larger, like certain things separately. Some of those you'd be like, all right, she's just toxically positive. I know I can never bring my true authentic self to this person if she was my coach.
Right.
The Trump thing, obviously, listeners of this pod would know where we stand on that.
Uh-huh.
Should we get into what it is that she actually does?
Yeah, let's get into it. I did think this was not an intentional choice when we picked this person to follow Crew. But I do think like the crossover of what her ministry does and what Crew does is quite funny.
Oh, I love that. Okay, so I, of course, after trying to like use my academic search journals and like coming newspapers, up with nothing. Literally nothing came up except like
absolutely nothing.
Press Wire. So I know who her PR agency is, but that's not helpful for today. So I went on her website because I was like, I just need some information about this lady. And she's really into vision boards and just envisioning who you want to be and what your dreams are and trying to put that into actionable steps. Small steps. You know, that is an approach that people, BJ Fogg, that's like the approach that we used at a health tech startup that I worked at ages ago. So like, yeah, it does work. But to your point, like, vision boards, I don't know if it's worth $8. I don't know if you need to pay $8 for this course where she leads you through, again, her words, leads you through the practical steps you must take to turn vision into reality using vision boards as a tool. Like, you could just do that for free.
Here are the titles of the classes that are offered in her vision board course. Creating, capturing, keeping, embracing, living, and expanding. It's verbs. A vision board.
Yeah.
Like, I like doing a vision board. That's a fun thing.
Yeah.
It's a cool practice to visualize your goals. Do I think you need to pay somebody to tell you how to do it? No, you don't.
But it's a self-paced course, Maddie. You pay the $8 and you can go at your own pace.
The pace should be 20 minutes. It should not take more than 20 minutes to understand how a vision board works. In addition to, okay, she also, so when I made the connection of her ministry with Crew, mm-hmm. is because her ministry is just vibes.
It is just vibes.
She just, like, she wants to coach people, but I don't think she actually offers personalized coaching. It's all pre-recorded lessons.
Yeah. Well, she might for those willing to pay exorbitant amounts. And I say that because of the person that I loosely know, ooh. I think maybe has used her in the past because they are working on something together that's going to be taking place in the Twin Cities. If we feel like crashing. Just kidding.
I'm interested.
But essentially it's like a Christian MLM, but I'm not sure what the downline is, you know?
Yeah, I did get excited because on her website, I saw at the bottom, you could be a partner. And I was like, oh my God, is this like a thing where it's like you could be like a tiny little Terry? But that's just what she calls people who donate. So it's not like building a downline. But she has spoken at Arborne International, at Amway. in other places like Hillsong and Lakewood.
And I'm sure, like, and I feel like I saw this on the Reddit boards, because when in doubt, sometimes Reddit has credible sources.
Your true friend.
Yeah. Well, just like people who have are like familiar with her, who, like, I don't know, live in Dallas or can speak to it. But apparently her stuff has kind of floated around the MLM world, and so that's how a lot of folks had heard about her. So it's not surprising that she would be, you know, that cheerleader of dreams for people that want to grow their business at LuLaRoe or LuLaRoe or whatever.
I Googled her name and LuLaRoe. That was my first MLM. Didn't find anything.
Damn. Okay.
Except, like, I don't know if this is good PR or bad PR, but every time I looked her up with, like, another word, it was just her Facebook posts. Like, constantly. And I'm like, nobody has written anything about this woman anywhere?
It feels fishy. And
yes.
Then it makes me wonder, okay, even her dad, though, like, for the very light research that I did on him, like, his Wikipedia page, very scarce compared to the other televangelists that we've talked about. So I'm like, do they just have really good PR folks that scrub the internet of any mentionings of them and just leaves, like, their own stuff up? Because there has to be something.
So the only thing I found, because similar to what you had brought up before with her, like, hard background, she has talked several times about how difficult her marriage was with her husband. Like, a lot. Several posts.
Well, if that's the only struggle that she's had.
Yeah. But I was, when I didn't know really the background of how her and Rodney had met, I was like, what was he, like, arrested or something?
Yeah.
And I did find that he has, like, several companies that he is associated with, like, almost 10 of them. And they're, like, different types of, like, vending machine and amusement stores. They're all LLCs, but they're things like Assured Vending, Extreme Amusements, Discount Arcade Distributing Inc. And Terry is also an employee for some of these organizations. And I'm like, could there be something fishy going on here? Allegedly? I don't know. I'm just a normal little guy in my house, so nobody sue me. But I was like, this seems weird.
It is weird. It is weird. And we can get into her financial records and of, like, what Ministry Watch was about to or what they were able to find. But before I do that, so beyond, like, the vision board course for $8, she has other courses. And one of the big ones is this 90-day coaching program called Vision 101. I couldn't find the actual price. I know she was you find it? Because I have, like, the total value is $1,036, but...
Okay, I thought that's what it cost.
I don't think it is, because she has that type of description for some of the other ones that have the price, and it's significantly lower. But I do know on the Facebook page, it was like, sign up today to get, like, $350 off. So I'm going to just assume it's over $300 for pre-recorded material.
Which, listen, she gives most of it away for free on YouTube.
Yes. Where she begins every video as, I'm Terry, cheerleader of dreams.
I'm Terry, cheerleader of dreams.
That's perfect. That is so spot on. Yeah. With peace and love. On it, like, she's positive. Peace and
love. Like, again, she seems like, if I met her, I would not want to fight her. She seems quite kind. I want to shake her and say, step out of it.
Yeah. Stop voting for Trump. Stop praying for him. Yeah. Ugh.
Did you see that? Echelon coaching?
Is that a different wave of coaching?
Yeah, this is her next tier past Vision 101.
Okay.
We're now into echelon coaching.
Okay.
Is
this for, like, businesses or, like, business leaders?
It must be, because
for a woman who's never worked in a business, just your dad's ministry.
That's it.
Yeah.
Their regular price, $5,000. But but you can get it for $2,997. And this includes things like building your team, how to use social media, growing your list and winning with email, establishing your brand. Like, these all sound like things that you could just, like, how to start a business. And yeah, then you find it. Hosting profitable events, funding your vision, strategies to triple your sales.
Maybe we should do that for this podcast. Maybe we should join.
Yeah, that'd be sick. We would get 540% growth. So you do the math.
I can't do basic math. Honest. Hand to God. I cannot do basic math. So that's up to you, girl.
There's something in my brain that starts like when a math problem comes up and I have to like do it in my head. I think I told myself I was bad at math for too long, and then now my brain believes it. And so even with like adding just like double digit numbers, I'm like, no, just take a second. You can do this math. I believe in you. Don't pull out your calculator.
I'm like doing chicken scratch on receipts. It's $5,000 normally, but you can get it just below $3,000.
Yeah, what a weird exact price.
Yeah. Is it for taxes?
Maybe.
In her promo video for that Vision 101 course, she does reference Dave Ramsey. And I don't know if you've gone down the rabbit hole of Dave Ramsey and his shit advice for financial freedom, but she's like, Dave Ramsey teaches that you need to have 6 months of your monthly expenses in an emergency savings account. I'm like, if that's what you're teaching, you are not qualified. Because even my financial planner would be like, no.
My favorite Dave Ramsey quote is, he said that if you have debt, the only reason you should be in a restaurant is if you're working in one. Isn't that beautiful?
Sir, a car payment is debt, is it not?
Student loans are debt, and I'm saddled with those for decades, so it's too late, and I'm going to die someday, so just let me eat at Chipotle in peace.
Yeah. Yeah. Until, you know, maybe they get forgiven by magic. There's maybe still hope.
He's forgiven some of them, so baby steps, I guess.
Yeah. I'm so close to being done paying mine for undergrad. And then I'm like, do I want to go back to school and just like re-up that? But anyways, part of that Vision 101 course, she talks about like, we're going to talk about finances and exercise. And it's just like a whole bucket of random shit of like how you can be your best version of yourself. And one of the things that made my ears kind of perk up in the video, she goes, I'll give you ideas of how to raise $1,000 fast. And I'm so curious what that could possibly be.
Yes, there are so many like her and then like the success stories that she highlights on her website of people being like, I made $100,000 in a month after I made a vision board. And I'm like, how did you do that?
Affiliate marketing.
Hey, guys, just check out my Amazon storefront. It's like below.
Swipe up for my LTK.
Just enter the code dumpsterfire for 20% off your first purchase.
Yeah. It feels like a grift with a pink veneer over it.
With some frosting on it?
Yeah.
Some pink frosting because of her icing event. There were a lot of comments I saw on Facebook of like, about referencing cupcakes, and I was like, what is this? What is this in reference to?
What is the icing event? I know they have multiple events, like they're gonna have one in DC coming up.
It's just like, it looks like it's just like a business conference, like air quotes, like not real. The icing conference has four sessions. There's two on Friday, two on Saturday, and I think it's like Terry, guest speaker Terry, I'm assuming, to close it out, to just be like, live your dreams, grow those email lists, be positive, make sure you get 30 minutes of exercise a day, like wake up before 8. It's just like,
yeah.
The thing about this like subculture of like wellness is just like, it's all the same.
Yeah.
Like, it's all the same bullshit. And it's like, you know, first of all, you don't need to pay for anybody to tell you this. And second of all, they've been saying the same things for decades. And
right.
all of you are still broke, including me.
I think that's probably part of my critique of her, is that it's not just about her. It's about this whole industry.
Yeah.
And like, if you just think positive, everything will work out for you. It's like the secret. If you speak it into the universe, it will happen. Mm-hmm. Like, I think this is why I changed my Instagram bio to exhausted. I just feel so deeply exhausted by it, because it's not, it's putting things, it's basically saying like, oh, if I just think these things or build a vision board, everything will just come to me, because it's the law of attraction, the power of attraction. It's like, no, it takes work. And I don't know. It's hard for me to believe that she understands the work that is needed for someone living in deep capitalism who doesn't have a trust fund.
Right. Yeah. It just, it also just like fuels the notion of individual success is what we should all be striving for. And it's just like, that is just something that exhausts people to the point of death. Like, there's no amount of striving for success that you can achieve as an individual that could be as fulfilling as it means to, like, strive for success in your community. Like, it's just, so you got a, like, you got $1,000 extra this week? Like, great. But, like... What does that mean in the context of this world we live in? Dude?
Well, groceries are expensive. So having that extra $1,000 would be great. But how much did you have to spend to even get to that $1,000?
At least $8.
Well, I mean, no, this is in the bigger course that we don't know the full price of, but has a total market value of $1,036.
I'm not saying I wouldn't like more money. I'm just saying it's just... It's a bummer. It's just like, it's just a bummer that this is like their whole deal is like success is measured by money and stuff and getting the things you've always wanted in life.
And if you just have a positive attitude, God will bless you with these things.
Yeah. She is like Joel Osteen's like peppy cousin.
100%. Should we get into financials?
Yeah. I didn't look anything up, so I'm glad you did.
Perfect. So this was like one of the only things that I could find from, I would consider them a credible source. We've talked about them in the past. Ministrywatch.com is kind of a repository of ministries, and they don't have all of them, but it's like where they can get information and then rating on whether or not you should donate money to these organizations based on the things they say they do and whether or not they do them and, like, what their finances actually look like. A little bit about Terry Savilfoy Ministries, Inc. It is located in North Texas. It bears the name of its founder, as we've talked about, and it was established in 2015. Its purpose is stated to teach people how to make their dreams bigger than their memories and fulfill God's assignment on their lives. The latest financial information Ministry Watch has for the group is from 2017. When it had a revenue of about $2.4 million and Foy was paid a little bit under $225,000 annually. Of course, when the ministry was contacted about updated 990s or financial information, their finance manager refused to provide that requested information to Ministry Watch. And there is no record of ECFA membership, and the ministry includes no financial statements on its website. And as we've talked in the past, once you become a ministry, you can kind of hide some of that shit, and it's legal, which keeps me up at night and is why I feel so sad. Just kidding. Am I? Anyways, talking more about the ministry, it has a donor confidence score of 22, which is not good. It means withhold giving. It's in the red. And their transparency grade is F.
I did see that. That is quite funny to me.
Yeah. They use their assets really well. But resource allocation rating is low. Their board size is three.
Their what sizes?
Their board size is three people.
Oh. Oh, so it's definitely like her mom and dad.
Or her daughter who works on the staff and her husband.
Sure. I looked at her daughter's Instagram and I think she's an adult, so I'm not dragging children, but I am like, she wants to be an influencer.
Oh, that no, is... she, you just search her daughter's name and that is 100% of the results.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's a little bit about the finances. We don't have current information, so it's hard. She is the president of her ministry, but there is a different CEO, which I learned from LinkedIn.
Oh,
I thought that
the
was
CEO.
Some guy.
Hmm.
Yeah. So that's kind of all I have. Do you have any other things?
Okay. So as we said, she is the author of several books, and one of the books is called Five Things Successful People Do Before 8 a.m. And I'm a morning guy. I wake up early in the morning. And I thought it would be funny to look up the things that she suggests so like I could be successful. Couldn't find a copy of the book in my library. My library doesn't have any of her books. So what's up with that?
Yeah, I really don't think she's like that big unless you're in specific circles.
Yeah. But fortunately for me, she has a YouTube video called Five Things Successful People Do Before 8 a.m. So the first one is pray. Not going to do that.
What if I'm praying that my alarm doesn't go off?
Oh, that might count. Yeah. The next thing is listen to a faith-building message. I don't really know what that is. Read. Review dreams and goals. And the last one, of course, exercise.
What about eating and showering? Aren't those also important?
You can do those after 8 a.m. This is all pre-8 a.m. activities.
Does she make recommendations of what time you should be waking up to fit this all in?
Just like before 8.
But it's 30 minutes of exercise or 20?
Oh, I don't know. This is just, I didn't get that detailed. She was giving me the impression that she was like more of a, like a wellness fitness coach to start, and then moved into cutesy vision board wellness coach.
Yeah, I wonder if it's because of the Teresa Caputo hair woman, whatever her name is from The Way Down. If she was like, oh shit, she's got that on lock.
Pivot.
What are we missing? Oh, financial coaching or some sort of like vision coaching. But not the type of visions you would receive from, like, an angel.
Yeah. She wishes. She was silly. She's a silly person. Oh, I guess, like, the other thing is, like, she was one of the many pastors who joined Trump at a round table with our previous guests, like, Franklin Graham and Paula White and yada, yada, yada. She's not, like, an outspoken, like... Yay, I love hating other groups of people, but that is, I mean, she is a full-on, like, yay Republicans, for sure.
Yeah, those other folks are saying the quiet part out loud, whereas with her, she kind of keeps us guessing because she doesn't give us a lot. She just...
Again, that PR team, it's on lock.
They are on lock. Do you have a favorite dumb fact?
Okay, I... pulled out one as a backup fun fact, and then I had this idea to pull from the inspiration of one of my favorite podcasts called How Did This Get Made, where they review bad
podcast.
Movies. Yeah, so good. And then at the end, Paul pulls out Amazon reviews of the movies that are 5 stars. I started reading the 5-star reviews of some of Terry's books. They were far too earnest and sort of made me sad, so I didn't really want to mock any of those people.
I'm on mute, but I am laughing because I love this idea.
So I went to the 3-star reviews because these people have have a little, a more interesting perspective, I think. You know, they're not fully in love with it, but they're not full on haters.
Mm-hmm. Like us.
So the first one, so this, again, this is her book, Five Things Successful People Do Before 8 a.m. This review is from Linda. She goes, I wanted to love this book, even after she used Hitler as an example of a successful person who used quiet time. Again, I wish I read this book because that had me floored.
Maybe that's why we can't find so much stuff about her, is because it's all just buried in the books. And if we were to actually spend the time reading her material, we would come to find the monster she is.
The monster within.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Linda continues, the part that made me want to stop reading her, which I'm like, Linda, we should have stopped after Hitler, no? was her depressing chapter, chapter 8, about bad habits. It goes on and ends with, I didn't mean to depress you. I felt like the book really could have been a PDF of one of her lead generators, and she just sticks to what you purchased for it, the five successful habits. Some of it just repeats and goes on and on. The plugs about her other books are also a turnoff. There is some good info in the book. However, I am giving it 3 stars to not throw the baby out with the bathwater. Would I spend $17 on this again? No. Am I throwing it out of my audio ebook library? No. There were some good nuggets, so I'll focus on those. Hope this helps.
It and does.
Eight people found that helpful, and so did us. So I guess that makes it 10.
I actually really appreciate Linda. She, you know, she kept it balanced. She said, I didn't like these things, particularly the Hitler part, but I'm not going to throw the baby out with the bathwater because there were some helpful bits, but it could have been a PDF.
There are some nuggets. And her point about the PDF reminds me of my roommate, Billy, who you have met.
Billy.
He was an English major and an English teaching assistant for several years. And he says that he doesn't like to read nonfiction because most of them could have been just a news article. And I think about that a lot when I read nonfiction.
I don't know. I see where he's everything. Coming from. Not everything. Yes. It all depends on the delivery.
Yeah. Like Atomic Habits, I'm looking at you.
Is that Adam Grant?
No, but also him.
Yeah. I was into his stuff, and now I'm like, I'm done.
Yeah. Anyway, do you have a dumb fun fact?
Yeah. I don't know if this is dumb or fun. I was kind of scraping the bottom of the barrel, and I lost my creativity at this point. But you mentioned that she majored in French, which is an odd choice. She does have a mission field in France, so they have mission group that goes over there, where she has a pied-à-terre, an apartment, if you will. The reason why, she said that God gave her a vision that she needed to, what was it? In the video I watched, she was like, we're here to help the nation of France. God gave me a vision that we needed to be in France and help this nation, which I thought was just very strange. But while they're over there, they partner with Hillsong Church to evangelize. That's kind of the TLDR.
Yeah, I did see that like little quip of like, oh, isn't it convenient that you majored in French and studied France, and now you're like, I guess God wants me to go to France. And it's like, or did you just want to go? Just admit you like France.
Yeah, just admit you wanted to move to France instead of using your ministry funds to like, whatever. To each their own.
I did grow up hearing because at my church, we did have a couple who were missionaries in France, in Paris, and they said that France is one of the most secular European countries in the world, or in Europe, I guess is what I meant. But I'm like, yeah, they also kind of make a point of it to be secular. So it's kind of on purpose. So anyway.
They were a little closer to the Crusades, so I bet they're just like a little bit exhausted from all that.
Sometimes they go too far the other way, though, because I do remember the news story a few years ago where they wouldn't let women wear hijabs anymore.
Right.
And I'm like, ooh, that's, why don't we just let people mind their business?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, and here we are not minding our own.
Well.
Well. It's well, my God-given right. Well,
these people just stop it, then maybe I wouldn't need to.
So true. They're, so true.
Because they're stealing money from people like Linda. $17 for a book that could have been a PDF is too much.
$8 for like a seven course vision board seminar that you could just do for free.
Yeah. Yes. That's awful.
So keep your money, kids.
That's such a low amount that it's not even worth it. Like, you know, like $8.
I know. Well, but that's how they get you.
Yeah. But what? Okay. Anyway, I could gripe about this forever.
So I don't know if you recall, but at the end of last episode, while we were slowly losing our minds because we decided it'd be a great idea to record it on a Saturday night after having full days of activities, I was like, oh, we should do this as a new segment. But now I don't recall what it was. Oh, it was the Her Bible.
It was the Her Bible.
Yeah. Should we save that for next time?
Do you have the app?
Absolutely
you just,
not.
You just remembered it. Duh.
I just remembered it. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's save it for next time because I really want to find like the craziest Bible verse to hear a woman read. A relatable woman.
A relatable woman. Yes. I love it. Okay. Well, listeners, look forward to that next episode. We don't know who we're talking about yet. We'll figure that out. But happy National Women's Month, International Women's Month, Women's Month. What do we call it?
Women's History Month.
Well, yeah, but right? Isn't it herstory?
Boo.
Well, peace be with you, Maddie.
And also with you, Ellen.
Bye.
Bye.